Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How you doing? Welcome back to the podcast. As always, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for tuning in. So please tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell an enemy, tell somebody, help me grow my podcast. The numbers are going up. Thank you for listening, for sticking it out. I appreciate it. Now tell somebody. Off the top, I'd like to start with my milestone, as I usually do. And for those who don't know, I have a six-year-old son. His name is Miles, and I like to talk about the things that he's doing. And this week is, it's about him, but it's not really about him. But it is, but it ain't, but it is, but it ain't, but it is. I had like one of my first like dad moments when I had to deal with another kid. So Miles is absolutely obsessed with this TV show called PJ Masks. It's three kids. I'm watching this football game. Dude's helmet came off. Yeah, they're gonna take him out of the game. I think it looks stunned. But PJ Masks. Three kids, you know, just normal during the day, and then at night they don their pajamas and they become superheroes and they fight with the villains and they keep the city safe and all that kind of stuff. So I bought him a bunch of PJ Masks stuff, and I bought him in it. He has a Catboy, and Catboy has a motorcycle. And kids love taking toys to school. He takes the Catboy and the motorcycle to after school care. I go and pick him up. And I'm getting his book bag, and he disappears. And I'm like, where the hell is Miles? And I look back, and here he comes running, and I can tell he's upset. You know? He's upset. So I'm like, what's wrong, man? He's just like, I can't find my cat boy. He's got the motorcycle in his hand. And all the teachers was like, well, we don't know where it is. When we find it, we'll set it aside. And he was just so upset. And I was like, look, man, it's gone. And he gave me that face, man. I saw those nostrils flaring and those deep breaths started coming out. I was like, come on, man, don't cry, man. We'll find it. We'll get another one. And I got so much guilt as a dad because I go out so much that I'm like, I got to try to find it. I got to be a hero, you know? So I go into the gym where they were playing. I look around there. I don't see it. And I go back into the cafeteria where they keep all the kids. And I'm looking around at all the toys. And this little girl, straight snitch, she goes, hey, sir, are you looking for Miles' cat boy? And I was like, yeah. I was like, have you seen it? She goes, yeah, I saw who took it. And I'm like, for real? And I'm like, damn, I didn't even have to give you any Wendy's, a cigarette, or nothing. You just ready to snitch. And she was like, that's right, sir. I'm ready to snitch. And she goes, yeah, I saw who took it. He has on red shoes. She didn't know his name. So I go back in there, and I'm looking at the shoes, and I see the kid. And I saw him when I went to pick Miles up, and I was like, man, this kid looks like he's going to be one of those teenagers that are just going to be very rebellious. He just already has that look. And I'm not trying to, you know, cast anything on anybody's kids, but he just has that look where like he's gonna be a scrapper, he's gonna be rebellious. And I see him, and I was like, God, that's him. So I go to one of the teachers. I'm like, hey, look, you know, I had an informant tell me that they know who has Miles's cat boy, and he's wearing red shoes, and I think it's that kid over there. She goes, all right, well, let me go look. Oh, let me go ask. So she goes up to him and she goes, hey, have you seen Miles' cat boy at all? And he's just like, cat boy, never seen it before, ever. Don't even know what it is. And I'm like, all right, no one denies it that hard. And she goes, you sure you haven't seen it? Someone said they saw you with it. You know, were you playing with it? Did you leave it somewhere? All right, no, don't know where it is, lady. Beat it. And so she walks back over to me and she's just like, yeah, he says he doesn't have it. You know, I can't accuse him of anything. And while she's talking to me, I'm looking at this kid, right? Looking at him. And he's just I mean, it's all the tells are right there. He's just fumbling with his pocket. He's trying to readjust his pocket. He's trying to make sure his shirt doesn't look bunched up. I was just like, God damn it, this kid, he has the toy. And I almost let it slide. I was just like, you know what? I can't do that. I got to get it back. This is my son's birthday present. So I walk over to him, and he sees me coming. And I know, to a child, I'm probably like Shaquille O'Neal. And I'm like, hey, man. I was like, do you have Miles' cat, boy? He goes, no, I don't. I'm like, come on, man. I was like, I can tell it's in your pocket. He's like, there's nothing in my pocket. I'm like, I see you messing with your pocket. I was like, I'm not stupid. I'm a grown man. I can tell there's something in your pocket. Would you mind just giving Miles the toy back, man? It's okay. And then, like, you just see his little spirit break just a little bit. I'm like, come on. I was like, you can't steal stuff. And he was just like, are you going to whoop my butt? I was just like, I'm not going to touch you. I'm not. But what I can do is tell you who snitched. Then you can take it out on her. And I'll act like I don't even know. Now, I didn't say that. But so, like, I feel like other kids knew, because once they saw it coming, once they saw us talking and they heard what we were talking about, they all come running over. And, like, one dude basically just goes in this kid's pocket. And lo and behold, the cat boy is in the pocket. And the look on his face, the look of shame and dread, and just, he was devastated. And, I mean, he just, I felt so bad for doing that to that kid. It's weird because all the teachers are watching, and I think the only way I got away with it is being a black dude, because I'm pretty sure if it was like a white parent asking some black kid to empty his pockets to prove he didn't steal some shit, it would be a huge problem. And, like, I get the cat boy, I give it to Miles, and we walk away. And, like, I turn around, and this kid is, I mean, he's done. He's crying. They're trying to console him, and he's, like, fighting with them. So I'm like, I got to fix this. So I walk back over. I'm like, hey, man. I was like, I get down on one knee, you know. I take a knee. I'm like, look, son. It's like, it's not a big deal. I was like, stop crying. It's okay. We all make mistakes. I was like, but you just can't steal stuff, man. I was like, Miles has three of these. Maybe if you would have asked him if you could have it, he would give you one. Right, Miles? And Miles looked at me like, no. But I had to, like, jump in. I would go, right, Miles? And he finally caught on to what I was doing. He was just like, yeah, I would give you one. So I basically had to tell this kid if he, you know, just don't steal again. You know, it's not the end of the world, but just as you get older, when you steal things, you can get in a lot of trouble. But we all make mistakes, and it's okay, and we're not mad at you. I don't think you're a bad boy. You know, we just, you wanted it. I get it. You didn't have one. And he felt better. But that was, like, my first, like, dad moment dealing with another kid and somebody stealing from my son. And then I have to, you know, explain to him why people steal and why he can't steal, because, you know, last week he took some like arts and craft letters and stuff. I thought they were his, but he's like, oh, I thought they were for everybody. And he didn't steal them. They basically handed them out. But I was just like, you just can't take things that are yours. I accused my own son of stealing. But I had to explain to him. I was like, you see how upset you were when someone took your things? And he's just like, yeah. I was like, that's why you can't take things from anyone else, because it hurts their feelings, and it's just not the right thing to do. So, yeah. That was very awkward. And then you got to think about the repercussions of doing that, because now you got this 5 or 6 year old kid, you know, who's going to tell their parent what happened, or the teacher's going to tell, you know, the parent what happened. And then they're going to ask the kid, and the kid's going to have some different story. And just the idea of, like, yeah, this guy's dad made me cry. He went in my pocket when I didn't touch him. You know, that type of thing, it can get ugly. So we basically just had to tell Miles, look, man, for daddy's safety, no more toys at school. You just can't do it. So that's just one. That's one of those moments where like just trying to do the right thing can just go horribly wrong, and next thing you know, you're enemies with another parent. And it's one of those things where you never ever see, you never really talk to any of the other parents. You rarely ever see them. But then this happens. You have an awkward exchange. Things get heated. And then every day, no matter what time you go pick your kid up, you see him at the school. You never seen him at Walmart. You never seen him at Food Lion. And you see him every day for like the next week or 2 weeks. And then it's just awkward. So, yeah, it just sucks that that's where we're at. And the fact that the teachers can't even really question the kid when it's obvious that this kid had the thing. It just sucks that we live in a culture where it's just like you can't even, the fear of correcting a kid, you know, because a teacher doesn't want to lose their job or embarrass the kid. And it's just like, they'll get over it. You know, this is just a way to do things. But I mean, it's insane. Even when Miles was in fucking daycare, it's like he would get into it with the kid, they would hit him or do something like that, and it's just like, well, he got into it with a friend and we can't say who it is. It's like, why can't we know? That way we can talk to their parents and maybe try to resolve this shit, but it'll just end up getting worse and worse and worse. But I don't know, just that's one of my biggest challenges as a parent is just like dealing with all these different rules, and you know, they don't want to embarrass anybody. Not that I'm for embarrassing people, but they can't even really address like they can't even teach life lessons. It's like they're leaving it all up to, you know, the parent, which I get, it is my job, but it's just like, here's a teaching moment for a teacher and they can't even do that out of fear of reprisal. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. But yeah. So that was not fun. And I felt terrible that I had to say something to that kid. But just watching him, just to watch his little toughness just break. Ugh, God. And I was thinking about that on the way home. I'm like, that's a moment. Like, that's probably burned into this kid's brain forever. Like, I'll forget about it in a few years, and he'll be like 25, like, oh, I remember this guy's dad, he was so big, he scared me, I had stole this, you know, cat boy, and I was crying, it was so embarrassing. And yeah, and I'll just totally forget about it. And if I ever saw him like 15 years from now, I'm like, yeah, I don't remember that. That's funny, I'm talking about this now and then I won't even remember it. I could listen to these in 10 years, I'm like, oh shit, yeah, that did happen. So but I went down that rabbit hole and I forgot what I was going to say. I said something about teachable moments and teachers can't teach. And oh, so all right. So last weekend, went back home to my 20-year reunion. Yes, I'm that old. Got to see a lot of old friends and we had a good time. And the only thing I'll say about the 20-year is, woo, people just need to know when they're going bald. Just cut that shit off, man. Nothing looks, you look older. And I know that's easy for me to say because I got a good head of hair. I got a beautiful head of hair. It's easy for me to say. But, man, it's just, you weigh only 38. It's just like, come on, you're not 47. Get rid of the horseshoe, man. Get rid of it. I don't need you looking like you sell used Buicks to people, to college kids at outrageous interest rates. Just cut it off. Just embrace the baldness. You'll thank yourself later. And you'll actually look younger if you do that. But I had a great time. It was just cool seeing everybody. And most people look exactly the same. Just so, you know, we just look like we're almost 40. And it's weird how you kind of revert back to not roles, but just your positions. You know, who you were in high school. And that kind of hierarchy. Like, there was these two kids, Travis Beaver and Tom Finger. They used to hang out all the time. And I walk in to the reunion, and they're sitting at the back of the table, just the two of them. And that was just a again, one of those images that I used to see every day at lunch or in a classroom and just never thought about at all for 20 years. And I see it and it's instantly back. It put me right back, like, boom. I used to see that. I saw that every day for 4 years at a very formative time of my life. So, you never forget it. You just don't think about it every day. But yeah, it was weird seeing them. They look exactly the same haircuts, just doing the thing. And it was cool just because they were super nerdy guys. And it was just good to see that they're both married. They got great jobs. They got kids. And, we made fun of them in school and stuff. But, yeah. We all got made fun of, to be honest, but yeah, it's just good to see that guys who didn't see themselves as cool in high school, doing well. They're successful, and they have families, and they're respected in their fields, and it was just a good time, and and I highly recommend that everyone go. Don't do that lame shit like, I don't give a fuck, I don't care about them people. It's like, dude, unless you absolutely hated it, but you should definitely go. People change over years. I mean, all the people that you thought were, just too cool and you'd never fit in, you'd be surprised at who they've turned into and who they hang out with. Like, two people in high school that you would never see hanging out together, now they're friends, their kids go to school to get school together. It's just good to see people matured and just become adults. I mean, we did a lot of crazy shit, said dumb things. We just made fun of each other, and now here we all are hugging and asking and showing pictures of our kids and who's playing soccer, and just, it's a great thing to see how much you've grown. And there wasn't a lot of dick swinging. No one was really trying to prove I'm doing this now, look at me, I'm better than you. It's just I think everyone is pretty secure where they are, so there was really no need to do that. And it was probably one of the hardest nights I've had. To not drink is what I'm saying. That was one of the hardest nights to not drink. You're seeing all your high school buddies, everybody's drinking beers, and it was also cool, to not get pressured into it. People are like, oh, you want a beer? It's like, oh, no, I haven't drank in almost a year. And it wasn't like, come on, man, this is a reunion. They were like, oh, okay, that's cool, hey, the water's over there. So that was very, very cool to show that people just mature. And, we're almost 40, and they go, hey, you know what? People have experiences. They struggle with things, and they go, yeah, I respect that. It's not like you're 23, and it's just like you just get peer pressured into it. No pressure at all, but had a great time. And, I don't regret going at all. It was just good times. Good time. I got to, my wife got to meet my friends, and it was a great moment. And I had another great moment and a good time. So this was embarrassing. I had to cancel the show that I had scheduled to do at the Carlson. I just didn't sell any tickets. But that stung for a couple of days. But, I spoke to some people and they go, hey, it happens all the time. Shows get canceled. You got guys that they'll book a theater and it doesn't sell. So they got to go to something smaller or do it at a comedy club and all this kind of stuff. So it's part of the game. And hopefully one day I can laugh at it with Mark and go, hey, remember that time I had to cancel that show because I didn't sell it out? And next thing you know, boom, selling out the main room. But, Mark Ippolito over at the Carlson was nice enough to put me on the Jeremy Piven show that was in the main room. And if that name sounds familiar, Jeremy Piven played Ari Gold on HBO's classic hit Entourage. Fun shows, packed out. I mean, sold out shows, both shows. It was a lot of fun. The crowds were hot. I got to open up, do 10 minutes. I didn't even have to bring him up. I brought up the feature act, Adam Hunter, and I was done for both shows. So that was less stressful, but I felt bad for the people that I had booked to do the show with me. We didn't get a chance to do it, but yeah. And I don't like to trash other comics or whatever, but I wasn't allowed in the green room. Some comics are very particular, and he was particular. But he was nice to me. just wasn't allowed to hang out in the green room, which is fine. Got to hang out with my man Todd Youngman, but and I had some friends come out, so I appreciate that. That was a last minute thing. People spent like $50 because they only had like a couple of VIP tickets left. So I appreciate people spending their hard earned money and spending their precious time with me. I got to hang out with my buddy Tim Camp, who's a Rochester policeman, and I had an odd moment where I had my two worlds collided. I grew up in the inner city, and a lot of my friends I grew up with, they are not doing as well, to be honest. Just, you know, good dudes, just not a lot of opportunity to excel due to their circumstances, and, you know, got into the dope game and in prison and you know, that hustler slash dope boy life. And I had a moment, I was outside with Tim. He's sitting in this big ass patrol SUV. He's one of those K-9 cops. And then my childhood friend, Dre, showed up, and he's not fond of police at all. And, you know, to be transparent, he's a felon. He did some time. And for him to roll up on me and see me talking with this cop, you can tell he was very hesitant. So I actually had to like run across the street to meet him to not have a weird interaction. And I met his nephew, who was a brother, who was a son of his brother, another good childhood friend of mine. And his nephew wouldn't even talk to me because I was talking. He saw me talking to a cop, and that was pretty shocking to me, because I've been out of that element for so long that, you know, it never crossed my mind that there are still people like who won't talk to you because you know a cop or you're talking to the police. And it just made me realize, like, man, these dudes operate in a completely different world that I do. And like that whole gangbanger life, that thug boy life, I mean, the dope boy thug life shit is real. And to have like my friend who's a cop and then my drug dealer felon friends kind of meet in the same spot was just kind of odd. And yeah, felt weird, but it was great seeing him. Seeing both of them, to be honest, and it was just weird. It just made me, you know, appreciate my position, and I was able to grow up in a household where I had both my parents who valued education and wanted me to excel in life, and they gave me a lot of opportunity, and I was very, very, very fortunate and privileged as a black dude to grow up the way I did, and I'm not ashamed or hesitant to say that at all. But all right, I went over my time, sorry, but that's the show. I hope you enjoyed that. I feel like I rambled on some things, but that's podcast number 2. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I already said I'll be in New York this weekend, 3 shows Friday, 1 on Saturday, back on Sunday morning. All right, everybody, peace.